Good morning, everyone. So awesome to be here with you today, to be able to celebrate this great day that God has made. It's always good to celebrate people, isn't it? Celebrate children. Again, at Eastside City Church, we believe that children are a gift from God to us. They're really not our possession. We're just called to steward our children, to help them understand who God is so that they can lead their life, they can follow him themselves. And then we love to celebrate that God has blessed us with so many great people and leaders. And even though there is some sadness that we are sending Guy and Elsie out to Kamloops, we do it with joy in our hearts because we know that our relationships are through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, next week we're going to be celebrating our graduates. We'll be celebrating those who are graduating from one grade to the next, but especially those who have graduated from high school as well as college. We're going to be celebrating them as well as Canada Day. And to do that, you don't want to miss next Sunday because we're going to have free cupcakes for everyone. Who doesn't like a cupcake? I know, that's for me, that'll get me to church right there, a cupcake. But today we are going to continue our series, and well, I should say this before I do. My name is Pastor Todd, along with my wife Jan. We are the lead pastors here. We want to welcome those of you that are here in person. Maybe this is your first time here. We're so glad that you're here. And for those at Eastside, your home, we are so glad that you continue to come and be a support to us as well as those online. But we're going to continue our series today called In the Beginning. And I want to start with the anchor scriptures that are a part of this series. And it's first of all in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That will preach all by itself. If you have been following this series, it is the beginning and the end of everything when we say that God created everything. It is through God. But we go on to talk about, and we've been sharing this scripture as well, in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God." So what have we established over the last 3 weeks? I think it's important that what I've been sharing with you, I've been building on certain things to understand the whole idea that God didn't just speak, and where was God, how did it come from, but the foundation to our faith is the Bible. And that the Word of God is eternal. It is the source of all truth. We talked about how can we know that the Bible isn't just a great book or a fictional thing that was written. We've established that. And if you want to go back and listen, if you weren't here those weeks, I encourage you to do so because I gave a lot of factual information to help provide that. So first of all, that's what we said. Secondly, we said that Jesus is the living Word revealed to us in the flesh. That when Jesus came down to earth, he was the embodiment of the Bible. That he was the living proof of the Bible. And the Bible is eternal. And so we say this, that God is the creator of the universe and all living things as revealed in the Word of God. That God created everything, and he does everything according to what has been revealed in the Word of God. And creation and the universe, as we talked about last week, were established and continue to be established by the unified agreement of the Trinity, God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So I just want to start off with that before we dive into what we're going to talk about today. The title of my message today is Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And so I want to start off with the story. You know, I like to share stories, and I've kind of been in this ramble on, you know, old technology, things that the modern generation doesn't understand. I talked about a VCR last week, my $700 VCR. Well, this week I want to talk about when a story about cable, and it's along the same lines. And when my wife and I were first married, we didn't have much of anything. Which is pretty standard. Who remembers when you were married, then you were pretty much dirt poor. You just, you know, you had some food, you had you know, a few items that you had in your house, but you had lots of love. That was just what, living on love. And not only did we not have any money, we also didn't have much stuff. We had a 400 square foot apartment that included a bed that we had purchased with our wedding cash gifts, a couch and a kitchen table, listen to this, that a lady connected to one of Jan's friends gave us, and a small color TV that I had from a Christmas gift when I was in high school. That was pretty much it. That was our house. And when I say a small TV, come on, I think some of your cell phones today are bigger. It had an 8-inch screen. Now, here was one of the perks of the apartment that we lived in. Cable was included with our rent. I mean, that was like, ha-ha. Honey, we are in a blessed place. Now, here's the thing. Because the TV was older, it required a VHF-UHF adapter to be connected. And for those of you, I could have done a picture. I've done it before. But it's the ones that had the coaxial cable screws, and it has the 2 foot claws that go into the back, 2 screws that you have to screw in. And to attach this adapter required a screwdriver, a tool we did not own. So I man improvised, grabbing one of our brand new butter knives from the drawer and began attaching the adapter. I thought it was a brilliant idea. I really did. I mean, I was creative. We were going to have cable television. That's really important, right? Yeah, yeah. Until my wife walked in the room. For the first time as a married man, I felt scared. As I quickly realized that any cutlery, especially brand new cutlery, was never to be used as a screwdriver. And when I say never, I mean never. Can I share with you what I learned? The knife was not designed to be a screwdriver. The Creator did not intend for the knife to be used in that way. So whether it is a knife, a car, a carrot, a paperclip, it is the designer who determines the purpose for their invention or creation. So what does that mean for us today? Not only did God create the heavens and the earth, but God created everything contained in the universe, including mankind. You see, because God is the designer and the creator of us as human beings, it is He who determines the plan and purpose for humanity. Let's read what it says about the creation of human beings in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 26. And here's what it said. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." Yes, even gophers. So God created human beings in His image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the little animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I've given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life." And that is what happened. And I love this. And it says, then God looked over all He had made, and He said it was very good. And evening and morning came, marking the sixth day. Here's what's important today. You see, when God created human beings, it is the only creation that was given the seal of not only good, but very good. So what is it that makes us very good? What is it that God did with us that is unique or different above anything else in His creation? And I believe this is that He created us with special intention and purpose. Now, I want to start with this. There are four reasons that man was created, that God gave us for putting us on the earth. First of all, I love alliteration for those of you that know me. The first word is reflection. We are called and created to be like God in his character and his transmutable nature, not his divine nature. You see, we were never meant to be God, but we are called to reflect his personality and his nature. You see, when you look at other human beings, when you see the people around you, they are reflections of the image of God. But not only were we to reflect him in how we look, but God says, I want you to take on my nature, the way that I love people, that I'm compassionate, that I'm kind to people, that I'm loving, that I'm confident, forgiving, holy, and righteous, all of those things that are attributed to God. We're called to reflect that. But the second reason God created us was for relationship. You see, God really doesn't need anything, and he didn't have to do anything, but he designed human beings to walk in relationship, first of all with him, and secondly with one another. You and I were created to spend time with him, to learn to hear his voice, and to take time to hear his thoughts in prayer. You see, that's why prayer is so important. I have to stress this sometimes over and over again because I want people to understand this. The reason that we pray is not so that God will be like, oh, I checked that box, and now God is going to be happy with me. We don't do it because it's a duty. We do it because we want to connect with him. We want to have a relationship with him. And he wants to have a relationship with you too. Somebody needs to hear that today. You are created for relationship. But we also are made to do life with other people. Family is important to God. I love that it said later on as we read in Genesis, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. It's true. He created us to be together. Now, of course, that statement was that that woman hadn't been created yet, and then God gave man woman, and it's a beautiful thing. I say this, even those of us who are introverts still need time with people, just not as much. Here's the third reason God created us, rulership. I don't know if you read in there and you see in there. I look at Genesis 1:28. It says, I called you to reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground. I've been working on that. I'm supposed to rule over my little dog. I don't think I win that battle all the time. She seems to have gained an upper hand in our household. I don't know how it happened, but I say this, when we adopted her 7 years ago, she was kind and obedient and all those things, and then she came into the Swisher family, and we ruined her. But we love her. But our mandate was to rule over the earth. Did you know that? With God. As his followers, as those who are called by Jesus, our job, our calling is that we would be the ones who would be the leaders. We would be the ones who would be speaking into things. We'd be the ones that would be taking ownership. We're created to lead and shepherd in all realms on the planet. And I love this. We are not to be subjugated or ruled over by anyone or anything but God and his word. Now, sometimes people listen to this and they're like, yeah, we're called to be free. How do you define freedom? What's freedom to you? Is it doing whatever you want, when you want, how you want? I don't know. I've looked at that type of freedom. I even tried to live it for a while. I don't think it really leads to much freedom. You see, the true freedom is when we understand that our freedom is to do what God created us to do. To honor him, to live for him, to be guided by him. You see, freedom without godly constraint never leads to freedom, but to bondage and slavery. You can look it up, you can follow it every time. You see, not only are we called to rule over the earth in this life, I love this, but we are destined to rule and reign with Jesus in the age to come. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him, and if we deny him, he will deny us. That's not exciting, that part. Here's the fourth reason God created us. Reproduction. We're called to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. You see, we're designed to produce both. We're designed to produce both biological children who reflect our looks and our personalities, but we're also called to train up children, to raise up children who reflect the character and nature of God. We're to pass these things on. As God gives us these things, we're to create children and families, but we're also to have these children that God has blessed us with reflect who He is. We're to teach them the ways of God within our family. Did you know that the nuclear family is the foundation of every successful society? If you want to destroy a society, destroy the traditional and biblical roles of the family. See, we're designed to bring people not only in biology to produce children that follow God, but we're also designed to bring spiritual children into the kingdom, to help people come into relationship with Him. Matthew 28:19 says, "Let's go forward and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You see, I think we have to understand something is very special about us. In our rally time, I love that Catherine shared that something that we have been talking about, that, you know, before God created the heavens and the earth, you were in His mind. He had a plan for your life. And I know that's hard for us to imagine in our infinite minds, that God could be thinking about every single one of us all at the same time, but that's the capacity of God. It's an amazing thing. And so you are created very uniquely as a person. You see, I believe this, that we are all designed with purpose and intention. And I want to share this, that I believe this, God has never made a mistake. Some of you have been told that. Some of you have had people share things. Maybe even in the whispers in your own mind, you've thought for a second that something's wrong here. But I tell you today, God has never made a mistake. And there's nothing random, nothing that is random or by chance that's done according to His plan. I want to read this scripture that we read during the dedication as we talk about being fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalms 139, verses 13 to 15. It says, "You made all the delicate parts, the inner parts of my body, and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the darkness of the womb." I love that again, you see that before even the world and the universe were created, you were established by God. See, we're the only part of creation that was made in His image and His likeness. Allie Bowman writes, "God created motivations, passions, pleasures, and thinking and power in us that mirror His own. We are like our Father. When we release creativity, our problem solving, our kindness, our compassion, and our forgiveness to the world around us, we are releasing who God called us to be. And each one of those things are righteous and true when they are not distorted by sin and selfishness." I love the Bible. You see, God created us in His purest form, and I love this because this book, I am who this book says I am, and I can be who it says that I can be. Amen? So Genesis 1:27. "So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." You know, we're going to talk about something here for this next section that will maybe be challenging for some people. I recognize that. But one of the commitments that I've made as a person who speaks the gospel is that I would share the truth of the Word of God. And I love what it says in this scripture, and I just believe that we have to understand this. It says that male and female, He created them. You see, according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, there's no debate, there are only two genders. We're not to be defined by government or culture, but exclusively by the Word of God, whether it's popular or socially acceptable. But I have to say this, culture is powerful. The pull to be accepted is real for all of us. But I believe this is reminding me of where we're living today is of a famous story. It's the classic story written by Hans Christian Andersen called The Emperor's New Clothes. And for those of you who know it, those of you who understand it, the story centers around an emperor who loves fashion and fancies himself with the most lavish outfits and especially the newest trends. And because he'll pay anything for the latest fashion, two con men come up to him with the idea to pose themselves as weavers and tailors and promise to make him the most exquisite and unique outfit. A suit that only is invisible to those who are unintelligent or incompetent. Now, as the day of the big reveal arrives, nobody wants to claim the obvious. The suit does not exist. So they allow the emperor to parade through the town only in his undergarments until a little boy has the courage to say, to shout, "Look, the emperor is not wearing any clothes." I believe we are living in a day where people have been duped into ignoring the obvious for fear of looking silly or incompetent. Nobody wants to be canceled. Nobody wants to have people come against them. But here's what I believe. Because we've been unwilling to speak the truth, we look silly and incompetent. You see, the Bible was never meant to be defined by culture, but culture was meant to be shaped by the Word of God. That is the truth. And so here's where it may be a little bit difficult, because I'm gonna come out and say this. I believe that nobody was created to be homosexual or transgender. There's nothing in the Bible to support this thinking. And I know there are churches, I know there are certain denominations that have this rationalized, this type of thinking or behavior, but to support these lifestyles does not exist in the Bible. In fact, the opposite is true. But why the confusion? We have to ask ourselves, why is there confusion today? Because man has been striving with God ever since sin entered the universe. We like our own way. And either we are the ruler or rule maker, or we submit to the divine ruler and rule maker. And self-focus and godlessness always lead to pain and confusion. But I have to say this, confusion does not come from God and cannot be attributed to God. Why? It's not an attribute of God. 1 Corinthians 14:33, the first part of it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." Therefore, same-sex attraction and gender confusion cannot come from God. And I believe that's one of the lies that's out there. You talk to people and they're like, "Well, no, people were created this way. This is the way that it was supposed to be. Somehow God made a mistake. They're in the wrong body." But the reality of it is, that's not what God was up to. And I'm going to share some things, because I look at this not to make light of anything today. I want you to understand that. I think there's some really serious things here as we talk about this. I'm going to speak the truth, but I also believe that we're called to speak the truth with love in our hearts and love for people. Because I think there are people that really have some struggles and battles in their life. And I believe as the church, we're supposed to have compassion and kindness. But we also have to be truthful. So how do I know that things aren't real? Well, we understand that the obvious things that goes against nature. When I was growing up, one of the ways that reproduction was explained was through the understanding of the birds and the bees. Those of you that grew up on the farms, you didn't have to have people explain a whole lot to you. You understood that for there to be a baby bird, you needed a male bird and a female bird. It was really that simple. The reality is when we talk about defeating these lies and people talk about things, sometimes we're just ignoring the most obvious things that are out there. That same-sex couples cannot reproduce without outside intervention. It's impossible. It doesn't work because God didn't make it that way. But it also doesn't work from an identification standpoint. As men and women, we are designed for specific roles and tasks. God knew exactly what he's doing when he designed marriage to be between one man and one woman. Within that unit is all that is needed to reproduce healthy biological and spiritual offspring. You see, same-sex attraction and gender confusion creates a battle against a person's own humanity and identity. We have to understand that. It's a raging battle. Literally a rejection of self. And one of the things that's being promoted is that if there was just more acceptance of the lifestyle, a more acceptance of this, that we would see the suicide rates go down. But that's not what the real issue is. That's not what the root of it is. The reality is because a person is at war with themselves and their God-given identity, there's no rest or peace. It's a tearing of the soul that is painful and exhausting. And I say this to those today, because in a group like this, there are people that are having real battles. My heart goes out to you. The battle and the struggle is real. And I want you to know this today, you are loved and you are valued. That God has a plan and a purpose for your life. That God wants to help you and God wants to heal you. But it also doesn't work from a biblical standpoint. To think you can determine your own gender is idolatry or self-worship. When we reject God to create our own standard of truth, it is the ultimate form of human pride. And I always find it interesting that they call it Pride Month. Self-pride is what cost Lucifer to be removed from heaven. And pride always leads to a fall or a falling short of God's standard. Now I'm going to get a little bit more real, and then we're going to see some things that I think are going to be encouraging here. And here's the truth. How do we deal with this? How do we look upon this? Well, first of all, this is the truth. It may feel cold, but we have to understand it is a sin. Anything that breaks from God's designed purpose is sin. Same-sex attraction and transgenderism are not a random disorder or an unplanned sickness, but it is a sin, a choice, a responsible choice. Many will not like this because we like to find reasons to excuse or justify how people get to bad places. But the reason that it's important to understand that it is a choice is because choice allows for personal responsibility and gives us the opportunity to find freedom. When we say, I know that this isn't where I need to be, there's a lot of reasons for it that struggle. That we have to understand that we have to say that it is a sin. But it's important to understand, even though it is a sin, it is not a greater sin that deserves special attention. Because all sin is equally ugly in the sight of God. Read what it says in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 9 to 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. As such, some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Now, sometimes what people miss here, when you look at the words like revilers, swindlers, gossipers, complainers, it's in the same category. See, we make these categories like, yeah, this is the worst. But this one, it's okay, you know. You get angry and you swear at things. That's okay. See, if we're going to follow Jesus, we must learn to refrain from sin, all sin. It's why we need to submit to the Word of God and be covered by the blood of Jesus every single day. Amen? Now, I said it's a sin, but I also said this before, it's a real struggle. The breakup of the home, the rise of abuse, emotional, physical, and sexual, have created incredible damage in people's lives. It's why God is blessing me with the ability to be able to do what I do, is to be able to encourage and help people. And for some, the hurt has caused a search for control or acceptance that has meant creating a new identity. And one of the results of gender and role confusion is that broken love is better than no love. And I will destroy my old broken self for a new and improved self, or someone others may or may not like. And I say this, the pain is real. The confusion is very, very real. So how do we respond? I want to read first Ephesians 4, 14 to 15. And this is talking about the church. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown away by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. But listen to this. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is head of his body, the church. So how do we handle this? How do we handle the culture that we're living in? I think we have to do three things. First of all, we need to be truthful. I think many Christians tend to think that it's a sign of love and godliness to ignore sin, especially sexual sin. Notice I didn't single out homosexuality. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Hey, I believe in the grace of God just like everybody else. I believe it. But we still need to get to the place where we're like, God, that's not how I want to live. That's not where I need to be. See, some have subscribed with the let's go along to get along, unwilling to share truth with people, saying, well, I want to show people love. Well, that's not love. You know, if my child is playing by the side of a road where there's a speeding car and I say, hey, be careful, don't go out there. If I'm just like, you know what, I don't really want to upset them. And unless someone refers to themselves as a Christian, I don't go out of my way to challenge them, though. You know, sometimes we think as people are coming in to the congregation, they have to be fully, like, mature in Christ. Well, I don't know anybody here. We're all growing in our faith, are we not? And so I believe our job is to speak the truth in love. As people, we get to know people, then we can begin to say, hey, what's going on here? What's going on over there? But number two, we need to be compassionate. We need to give people the same grace that we give ourselves for our own shortcomings. Understand that what they are going through is a legitimate struggle. It is difficult, it is painful, and they may or not feel motivated to change. Keep encouraging everybody. We should encourage one another, anybody who comes here, to pursue God and His Word. The more we expose people to God and His Word, and even today, the presence of God, the more the Holy Spirit will reveal to them what God needs to reveal to them. And number three, we got to be patient. Change in this area, actually many areas, usually does not happen as quickly as there's much tied to it. We keep pointing people to God and trust the Holy Spirit to work on them and in them. You cannot force change. If I could have a parenting class for anybody that's raising kids or teenagers, I want you to know there's times where we have to have firm foundations, but as they get older and they begin to start making choices, you can't force change. I can't do it with my young adult kids anymore. I used to. So how, what are we going to do today? Well, I believe that God is here. He wants to touch our hearts and release freedom. So I'm going to invite the ministry team here today, because here's what I believe God wants to do. I know I've spoken a heavy word here today. I know I've spoken on some challenging things today. And I believe God's design and his desire for us is to help us to love everyone without ignoring or denying the truth. Oh, I did. I invite the ministry. I said worship. Maybe I said that. How are we going to do this? We're not going to agree with the dystopia or the lie, but we can still love people. Our job is not to change people, but to love them. Relationship gives us the opportunity to speak truth. But I want to pray today, first of all, before we have anybody come up here, because this is going to be an open for a lot more things than what I'm just talking about in this moment. But I want to pray for those today who are facing a real struggle in your life. Maybe you're wondering if God loves you. Maybe you're wondering what your purpose is. Maybe you're struggling with temptation in this area. Maybe you're just very confused about how God made you today. I want to let you know that you were made in the image of God, and he loves you and he cares for you. And so today, Father God, I just want to pray. I want to pray over this church. Lord, I first of all want to pray for those who are battling with just identity crisis in their life. Those who are wondering if God really loves them. Those who are facing confusion. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray by your Holy Spirit that, God, you would come and you would release your love to them. Lord, I pray that the spirit of revelation would come and that they would realize, God, that you've called them. You've called them by name to come after you. And Lord, as they press into you, Lord, I can even see right now in the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that things are going to begin to fall off of our lives. You see, it doesn't matter what the sin is. Whether it's anger, whether it's overeating, whether it is addiction, whether it is sexual sin, whether it's struggling with pornography or it's struggling with attraction to the wrong things, to same-sex, whatever it is, God, I declare today, Lord, that you would be the revealer, and God, that as people begin to pursue you, those things would begin to fall off of their lives. Jesus, that we would turn to you, that we would return to you. And Lord, I pray for our church. Lord, help us to be that body. Help us to be that place where our compassion and our hearts are big enough to love anybody, no matter what it is they're experiencing, no matter what it is they're battling with. Lord, would you give us a new grace to love those who are among us, to love those you are bringing to us? God, give us your heart. Lord, would you fill us with, Lord, just a love, but also the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would see people delivered and set free, but Lord, when they're not delivered and set free, Lord, as quickly as we would like to see it or we think it should be done, Lord, would we just put our trust in you and continue to believe and continue to love? Would you do that, God? Would you make us that place? Lord, we're believing that this is going to be a place of freedom for people. Not freedom to just live how they want and to do what they want, but freedom to pursue you, to serve you, to know you. Freedom from judgment. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom themselves to love like they've never loved and to receive your love. Jesus, we just thank you for this today. Because in the beginning, God, you created not only the earth, but you created us. And Lord, I pray, Father God, that we would go every day reminding ourselves of who you are today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. We just stand up together here today. And what we're going to do, just even as we just are milling around, if there's anything in your life that you're just like, God, either I need your help or I just need some encouragement, I need some strengthening, I want to invite you to come here forward and receive some prayer. Just run to the grace of Jesus Christ today. Maybe you need more compassion in your heart. Maybe you need more love. Maybe you're struggling to love those around you. Maybe you're struggling to love somebody in your family. Maybe you're struggling to be there. God wants to give you his grace. And I'm just encouraging you today, come and receive what God has for you.